Joe Courtney is a Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District. He's been in office since 2007. Let me start by asking you about the omnibus spending bill, which includes plenty of priorities for Connecticut and for your district.
Sure. So, I think Congress finally stopped torturing the country by passing a real, spending plan for the rest of the fiscal year in 2018, rather than these little, continuing resolutions that still created so much instability.
Right.
In terms of communities and states and et cetera. So it was bipartisan vote, and it lifted the spending caps that the Budget Control Act put in place back in 2011 to allow, both defense and non-defense to adequately fund different programs. There's been some criticism of it that, this is another case of, wild, deficit spending. And it's true that, the budget numbers that finally came in were higher than what the Budget Control Act had originally called for. I would note that if you put that spending bill and even the following year spending limits, which we agreed to earlier this year for 2019, it's 1/6 of the deficit impact that the Trump tax legislation is causing in terms of our public finances. So I don't relish deficit spending, and I think that we really need to have a grown-up conversation in this country about reducing that. But having said that, I mean that's not happening right now with the cast of characters in the White House for sure. And in the meantime, school districts, whether it's Title I funding or brownfield programs or just a whole host of domestic priorities are still desperately, looking for help, including, by the way, transportation and infrastructure, which this bill boosted spending for programs like the Tiger Grant program, which, is an extremely essential sort of safety valve for states and local communities who, have crumbling infrastructure out there. So it was it was a bipartisan vote. Neither caucus had enough votes by themselves to pass the measure. So it was truly, it required a coalition to get it through. The president, as usual, put everybody through this last second drama about, well, maybe I'll veto it after I told everyone I was going to sign it. And then, finally he signed it. So, as I said, there was a number of priorities in my district, certainly that benefited from it. The, hiring down at the shipyard, down on Electric Boat in Groton is going to continue. And again, we're close to the 17,000 mark down there. Again, really following the Obama shipbuilding plan, I would note, in terms of, what the fleet size should be. And but again, a whole host of other programs, Pell Grants, healthcare, community health centers, all them, got a infusion of help, which, and more than anything else, they got an infusion of certainty and stability, which has been missing with this administration in terms of just the stop-start, tweeting, spinning changes that come out of the White House in terms of, having like a real budget for the American people, which again has up until this point has been missing.
So Joe Courtney, there were some surprises in there. I mean, here we have this president who's been catering to this relatively small base that he has, but with great emphasis, and we see public radio and television being funded, and the Planned Parenthood people being funded. That's extraordinary that. You couldn't have asked for more on the as you suggest on the domestic side,
right? So I mean, two things. I mean, first of all, the dirty little secret that everybody is the worst kept secret in Washington is actually Republicans support a lot of those priorities.
Sure.
I mean, you put them on Truth Serum, and things like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I mean, as in a lot of rural areas around the country, that's virtually almost the only game in town. And so, those are very popular programs. But I also think, frankly, the leaders, Schumer and Pelosi, did a great job in terms of negotiating, that they really, as much as they get criticized, out there by, you know, people even from within the Democratic base. You know, when it comes to the, you know, real blocking and tackling of negotiating a budget like that, they, I think, were better prepared and better ready to, you know, get the those priorities protected. But as I said, you know, with a lot of help by a lot of Republican members who, you know, once they're in the negotiating room, actually, you know, really, I wouldn't even call it, you know, conceding. I mean, supporting a lot of those priorities.
As long as we have 3 minutes and 35 seconds left, I wanted to ask you about Nancy Pelosi. You know, she has been painted as the boogeyman or boogie lady for by the Republicans. They've gone out of their way to you know, to villainize her, if there is such a word. And I wondered about you and about the Democrats, because everybody who comes on this show seems to love her.
So, as I said, you know, the budget process is a perfect example of where her experience, you know, really was, I think, a really positive reason why I think she has, you know, had the record that she's had, you know, over the years. The and right now, you know, I think, you know, she's the leader, and she's going to be there certainly, I think, for the rest of this Congress. Moving forward, you know, our party, I think, at some point really does have to look itself in the mirror in terms of just, you know, the fact that we have leadership that has been around for a very long time. Our seniority system is much more, you know, calcified or locked in than the Republicans. And frankly, I give the Republicans credit for the fact that they do have term limits for chairs of committees, leadership, and they have had a much, you know, more sort of active refresh button in terms of leaders. And so, you know, Nancy's situation is that she has been a target over the years. And, you know, I think a lot of it has been unfair in many respects. But nonetheless, I mean, there is a large portion of public opinion that I don't think, you know, she's in a position that she can change very easily. And my biggest priority right now is making sure that we change control of Congress in November. And I do think we need to, you know, really make it clear with the American people that the House Democratic Caucus, you know, is prepared to really start having a, you know, serious conversation about the fact that there needs to be change, not just in terms of the leader, but frankly, the whole top tier of our leadership. And I think we should reform the seniority rules in our caucus. And, you know, as somebody who may be the chairman of the C-Power subcommittee in the next Congress, I'm sort of putting a limit in terms of my own time maybe in that position. But the fact of the matter is that that sends, I think, a healthy message to the public. And right now, you know, whether you like it or not, there's real concern about the fact that it's just been too we've had just the same folks in place there, which has allowed the opposition to really, you know, like you said, villainize or vilify them to the detriment of the party's message.
It's always great to talk to our friend Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut, 2nd District. Joe, I'm glad I asked that question. It's a pleasure to talk with you. When we come back the next time, I got lots more for you.
Great. Thanks, Alan.